Anybody thankful for grace? Hallelujah. Unmerited, unearned favor. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He's a good, good father, and he is worthy to be praised. Let everything and everyone, and especially every recipient of grace, praise the name of Yah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I don't know about you, when my sin abounded, even the sin of unbelief abounded, his grace did what? Super abounded. Hallelujah. And I thank God also this morning for singers and musicians who take what they do seriously. You can't sing like that and not commit yourself. You know, the Bible talks about playing skillfully on the harp. So we want to give God our best. And I'm so glad that our musicians and our singers took the time to give God their best. Man, they sound good. Richard Smallwood's singers better watch out. Tell you, man, I love y'all, man. Thank you, elders, for getting behind what we do at the church to make sure they have the resources they need to do what they do. The material, physical, financial resources, and to our team up top for the work that you do to make sure that we're sounding good, we're looking good with the lights, and even streaming to those who can't be here. I bless our members who are not here this morning. Those of you who are watching online, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Some of you, I know your situation. Some of you have just gotten out of the hospital, and we thank God for that. Some of you, and that's Sister Pat Parker. Some of you, Sister Vi, ring that bell to let cancer know you've been defeated. His grace. And I praise God for you being here this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements. It may even be a repeat from some things Pastor Felicia said, but I want to say one word about the inclement weather policy here at the church. January, as you know, can give us some snow going into February. And so on Sunday mornings, what you want to do is you want to be tuned in to the Breeze information that we send through the Breeze platform at the church, where we will either email out what we're going to do, or we will text what we're going to do if we're not going to have church. So if you're not on Breeze, this would be a great time to get on the Breeze app for the church. But also, we will put up postings on the Strong Tower Bible Church Facebook app. And then also, I believe we can do the same on Instagram or on my Facebook page so you can be informed, because I don't want you coming here braving the elements if we canceled the service and you get here and you think the Lord came back and left you behind. So make sure you stay tuned in. And then midweek, here's something again, put this in the front lobe of your mind. When Davidson County schools close, we close, okay? So on Wednesdays, when we get together for Impact in the evening, starting at 6 o'clock, if Davidson County schools are closed that morning, we have a policy that we close that evening, okay? And then we'll also send out emails and text messages. So I just want to keep you abreast on the inclement weather policy. And as far as last Sunday, you know, we couldn't make it because the snow was not safe for us to come out. We weren't able to plow the parking lot, and it just wasn't safe. And so we sent the word out. And as far as I know, no one came to the church. You got the message last week. And not only did you get the message, you gave last week. You gave to the Lord through the various channels we have here at Strong Tower. And not only did you give without there being a church service last week, you gave in such a way where we exceeded our weekly budget goal. You gave almost 3,000 over that. Come on, that's good. Come on. as the senior pastor who's also working with the elders, the leadership of this church, we want to bless you because we are serious about making disciples. And money has a lot to do with discipleship because where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And so as Elder Clifton even said this morning, freely we receive, freely we ought to give. We give cheerfully, we give obediently, we give regularly, we give proportionately, all of that. And so you gave last week without a clarion call, without a charge, without an instruction, and even without a church service. And that told me and the elders that God is truly growing his people. And that makes us excited because that's what we're here for, to make disciples of Jesus. And as Pastor Felicia also mentioned, next week is the pre-membership luncheon. And so because we lost last Sunday gathering, we weren't able to promote it well. So this is the Sunday we've got to promote it so that we know how much food to prepare for you. So take out your phone. If you are not a member of this church and you would like to explore what it means to be a part of this church, you have questions about why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe, in a safe environment where we're going to be at tables enjoying food and fellowship, please come next week. All right, so please hit those QR codes up there and register. I said bring your phones out, not so you could check Facebook, but so you could register. If we have 5 people, praise the Lord for 5. If we have 25, praise the Lord for 25. We want to know how to prepare for you because we don't want no fight in the hallway talking about they don't have a plate for me. We don't have a plate for you because you did not register. And we do lay hands around here, so don't think that you're just going to lay them on us. No, I'm messing with y'all. Some of that Baltimore will still be up in a brother. But no, register. And then tomorrow, I don't know what your MLK plans are, but Strong Tower Bible Church Franklin, we have a Franklin campus led by Pastor Walter Simmons and his lovely wife, Jessica. They are going to have an MLK service for the city of Franklin, and it's going to be held at Christ Community Church in Franklin. So at 10 o'clock a.m., you are welcome to attend that service. Amen. All right, I'm going to keep my mouth shut right there. I'm not going to talk about nothing else. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we're in a series called Why? Why? We learn when we ask questions. So as disciples of Christ or students of Rabbi Jesus, learners of Christ, we ask questions. We ask the Lord questions. We ask the scriptures when we're reading. What does that mean? Why was that placed there? And then we set out to find the answers. And we're also doing the same thing on Wednesday nights. Last Wednesday, we talked about why die for a lie. And we got into Acts chapter 5. And so this coming Wednesday, we're going to talk about why women pastors. So we like to get in the round. We talk, we share, we laugh, we ask questions. People online join us because we're not going to grow as a follower of Christ if we're not in the Word of Christ. So join us. And I want to see more people this Wednesday, all right? Let's get back in spiritual shape. You went to the gym January 1. I hope you're still at the gym on January 19th. You still at the gym? But anyway, come back to church. Amen. Thank God. But the question today is why GDK? Why GDK? And someone sitting here watching is even asking, what is GDK? Well, let me pray for us and ask the Lord to teach us. Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for being rich in mercy. Thank you, Lord, that there's enough mercy for all of our mess. Thank you that you have taken our sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, your darling son that was shed for us to forgive us of all of our sins, past, present, and future, freeing us to love you and live for you. Thank you that it is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. No one is going to boast in your presence. Thank you, God. We boast in Jesus and because of Jesus. Help me with this word. Help me to teach it. Help your people to hear it. Help us all to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. YGDK. Well, a few years ago, I was threatened on social media. And I was threatened by someone who was a part of an organization called the Gangster Disciple Killers. The Gangster Disciples is a street gang that originated out of Chicago, Illinois. And so when I would end various posts that I would put up on social media with GDK, they thought I was making fun of the Gangster Disciple Killers. And one of them sent me a message telling me, yo, homeboy, you need to take that down. You need to stop doing that, homeboy. So he was threatening me, like, or else. But I used it as an opportunity to share the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus, thanking God that the old man has been crucified and in the grave, because there's something in me that want to rise up again. If you a gangster, you really not going to be online. I mean, if you a gangster, you, come on, bro. You ain't no gangster, bro. You on social media. But I told the brother, I said, it stands for God's Diverse Kingdom. And of course, you see, I'm still putting GDK up. I didn't fold to those threats. And I thank God that GDK has another meaning as opposed to black men killing black men in our streets. God's diverse kingdom. Now, there are other gangsters that are not on the streets, but they're in the church. And they are ones who say that diversity is a bad word. They are ones who say that diverse speaks of something of a liberal agenda. And when few people would say that to me to my face several years ago, I would say to them that the word diverse and diversity are biblical words. So although your politics is greater than your faith, for me, my faith determines my politics. My faith is greater than politics. And I don't use words that you put out because of political correctness. I stand on what the Bible says. And Paul says there's a diversity of spiritual gifts. So diversity is a God thing. It's a beautiful thing, even though some Christian gangsters want to make it a political thing. No, God's diverse kingdom. And that's why our vision as a church has been to experience this, explain this diverse kingdom, and expand God's diverse kingdom in the city of Nashville and throughout the world. That is our vision. Our mission is to make disciples. Our vision is to experience, explain, and expand God's diverse kingdom. Now, when God called me to start and plant Strong Tower, Darina and I, who, by the way, she's out on the West Coast. She's in a writer's conference. She's like a board chair for a group called, I forget the name. I'm sorry, baby. Don't get me. I know she's watching. I don't want to say the wrong thing. She's out there leading this right now. And Lord have mercy. And she'll be back with us tomorrow night. But when we started Strong Tower 30 years ago, I never asked to start a diverse church, economically diverse, theologically and denominationally diverse, ethnically and racially diverse. I never asked for this, but God gave me this assignment, and I'm so thankful for it. And from that, things would just jump off the pages of scripture that I had never seen before as pertains to God's diverse kingdom. And probably the main verse, which is what we're going to expound upon today, is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, which really is the impetus behind why we do what we do as a church. And it says, written by Paul, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That is what we call race. It's a social construct, race or ethnicity. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. That is class. And then he says, there is neither male nor female. That is gender, race, class, and gender. Then he goes on to say, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So there we see God's diverse kingdom displayed in Scripture. And this verse was so formidable and powerful that the slave masters made sure it was not included in what is called the slave Bible. For some slave masters, to appease and ease their conscience, they saw themselves as making Christians out of the slaves, not knowing that many Africans knew Christ before they ever were placed onto slave ships, because Christ reached Africa long before the slave ships did. The gospel ran through Africa and is still in Africa to this day. But some of the slave masters felt that they were evangelizing as they were enslaving millions of Africans. And so as they were discipling them, they would give them the word, and there may have been one within the plantation, the preacher, who could read a few words. And so there was an enslaved Bible. And in this Bible, there were certain verses that were taken out of the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because God forbid if the enslaved ever learned about who they were in Christ Jesus, it might cause various kinds of revolts. And one of the verses that was taken out of that Bible, and to take scriptures out of the Bible, you've got to be a different kind of evil. Because the book of Revelation talks about a curse is on anyone who removes words from this book. But there were people who had such an agenda that they would take things out of scripture to promote their evil ways. And Galatians 3:28 was taken out, because if the enslaved ever saw that God calls for unity in the midst of diversity, that God validates and values slaves and Greeks and Jews and men and women, then that could change the entire economy for them. But before I expound on Galatians 3:28, which again, to some is a controversial verse, but to me, it's an encouraging verse. Before I expound on it, I got to ask you again, why God's diverse kingdom, where we come together regardless of race, class, and gender, and celebrating our oneness in Christ Jesus, why God's diverse kingdom? Number one, Strong Tower, if you are a note taker, number one, the Father planned it. The Father planned a diverse kingdom. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did you see that? All of the families, not some of the families, not just Hebrew or Jewish families, but all the families on the earth is going to be blessed through you, Abram. And not really specifically Abram, but through one of his descendants, the seed, capital S, Jesus, from Abram. And if you read the Gospel of Matthew, you see this lineage proving that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews and the King of the world. He comes from Abram. He comes from David. He is the one that would bring the family salvation. So through Abram, through his seed, salvation, righteousness, grace, mercy would come to all families. Paul picks up on this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, when he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So the gospel was preached to Abraham. The good news of a Savior coming was preached to Abraham, that all the families, Jews and Gentiles, would be blessed. Why God's diverse kingdom? Because the Father planned it. This is his heart. Number two, why God's diverse kingdom? Because Jesus lived it. He lived it. So at the elders' meeting this past week, Wednesday morning, I shared with them how after Christ had been preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. The Bible says he came down from the mountain after preaching about how to love your enemies and how to pray for the kingdom to come and how to have authority over your flesh and all this kind of stuff and being kind to people. After preaching all of this, he comes down off the mountain and the people are following him. And the Bible says a leper comes up to him saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I'm willing. And Jesus touched the leper before he healed him. So he's practicing what he preached about loving the least, the last, the lost, the diseased, the marginalized, the disenfranchised. They're watching him put into practice everything that he preached. And then after the leper comes, then a centurion comes. What is a centurion? A centurion is a soldier. A European, a Gentile, who represents the oppressive people, the ones, the Romans, who were oppressing the Jews at that time. This centurion came to Christ, and Christ didn't turn his back on him. Christ welcomed him, and the man says, I have a servant at home who's sick. Lord, if you just speak the word, he will be healed. I don't want you to come into my house as a Gentile because I'm not worthy, but if you speak the word, he'll be healed. Jesus marveled at his faith. He turns around in a sense and says to the Jews who are following him, I haven't seen faith like this in Israel. This Gentile knows more about me than you guys know about me. And Jesus healed the man. He said, go your way. Your servant is healed. And after he ends up healing the leper and healing the centurion's servant, he said in Matthew 8:11, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. See, that's the problem with a lot of churches. We can't get people like this to sit down together in church. But Jesus says, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I'm showing you Jewish people, my people, that God loves everybody and not just y'all. That the Abrahamic covenant was just not for y'all, but for all who will believe the promise by faith and not by works of the flesh. Jesus preached the gospel. You see, he came to his own, but not just for his own. You got to hear that again. He came to his own, but not just for his own. Jesus uplifted the poor, and he challenged the wealthy. Jesus walked with men and he empowered women. Come Wednesday again, you're gonna hear some more of this. So this is the diverse kingdom the Father planted. Jesus lived it. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit loves it. He loves it. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. Watch this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's nothing like when the family comes together and we're unified. Grudges are dropped. Prejudices drop. We're there loving, forgiving, and blessing each other. There's no feeling like it. It is like the precious oil upon the head. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The oil is running. You know, when you have a car or any kind of machine and there's no oil in it, it gets locked up. And if you keep trying to drive it with no oil or work that machine without oil, it's going to break down. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out oil on the church, giving us the ability to live for God and to serve God and to make God known. The oil, the presence of the Holy Spirit. When they were all together in the upper room on one accord, the Spirit came. Then they went out and they spoke to the nations, not just Jews, but everybody else who was in Jerusalem coming for Pentecost. They spoke the word to them. My Lord, the oil, the oil. The church needs the oil. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. The Holy Spirit loves it when the church is anointed with oil. The Holy Spirit loves it when the church is submitted to him, the oil, and he gives us the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. He loves it. But when we're fighting and bickering and dividing over things that are not important, it grieves the Spirit of God in the church. His fire that he wants to start is quenched in individuals and in the corporate gathering. But when it's happening, when we're forgiving, when we're loving across various lines and differences, the Holy Spirit loves that. But then another reason for God's diverse kingdom is that heaven epitomizes it. Heaven epitomizes it. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10. After these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations. So when you see the word nation, it comes from the Greek word ethnos, where we get ethnicity or ethnic groups from. So all ethnic groups, all nations are in heaven. All tribes and all peoples and all tongues. This is just the writer's way of saying there's a whole lot of everybody up in heaven. But when we see certain publications, certain productions, whether movies, cartoons, books, it seems like heaven is a homogeneous place where God is white, Jesus is white, the angels are white, the redeemed are white, the clouds are white, everything white up in there. But when you read the Bible says there's diversity up there. And even when it says diversity of tongues or languages, that reminds us as arrogant Americans that the language of heaven will not just be English. I wish I had a witness today. When we travel abroad as Americans, we expect people to speak English. And when they don't speak English, we get offended. Like, you don't know English? They might look at us and say, you don't know Swahili? What's wrong with you? But we're arrogant. And we think they're speaking English in heaven. Yeah, they're speaking English, but they're speaking thousands of other languages in heaven as well. Meaning that in heaven, we'll have the Tower of Babel reversed, where the languages separated them. But in heaven, the languages bring us together, and we will have the true gift of interpretation because there won't be any strangers in heaven. So when you speak your language, your native language, I'll be able to understand you. And when I speak English, you'll be able to understand me. And then when we lift up the name of Jesus and sing hallelujah together, there will be one chorus in heaven. God loves this stuff. He didn't change us. He didn't say, stop being a part of your tribe when you go to heaven. Become European or colonized when you go to heaven. No, he saved you where you are. And when he takes you to heaven, you will be your color, your ethnicity. You will speak your language. So the Bible tells us what heaven is like. And if you ain't ready for that, if you don't want that, guess what? You might not be going there anyway. Oh, man, nobody want to amen now. Because how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? I think John said that. And not love your brother whom you have seen. A lot of us got religion. We don't have Jesus. Oh, heaven epitomizes diversity. And then number five, why GDK? The world needs it. The world needs it. John 13, 35, Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When people see us loving across economic lines and gender barriers and social division and racial, when they see that, they'll say, Jesus is real. He's got to be real to bring different kinds of people together. But how is the world supposed to become a part of God's diverse kingdom if the church is screwed up? If the church is sexist, if the church is racist, if the church deals with classism, how can the world become a part of God's diverse kingdom? We got some repenting to do. And the Bible says that judgment starts first in the house of God. And tomorrow, when President Trump is sworn in, I have not missed the prophetic irony that is going on here. Because as you know, the church is divided and separate and even opposite when it comes to voting tendencies and practices. Okay, but we have to have the understanding from Scripture that we pray for those who are in office, regardless whether we voted for them in our democracy or not. That we're to respect the office, even if we find the person in the office disrespectful. But I find it a prophetic irony that on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the person that is being sworn in is being sworn in on the basis of the color of his skin and not on the content of his character. You'll get that when you get home. And I think God is saying again, choose. Don't be lulled asleep by this. And many of us have Latino and immigrant friends and family members. There's serious concern in hearts and minds and families. But when I see this stuff happening and what's about to come by way of policies, it doesn't make me scared so much. It makes me excited because the church thrives best against the veil and backdrop of darkness. When we show up with love, when we show up with grace and truth and mercy, that's how the church grows. We grow through persecution. We grow through resistance. So there are going to be opportunities for us to love the unlovable. In a way, they've always been there, but it's coming to us like never before. Are we going to be the church or are we going to play church? Are we going to stand up against injustice or are we just going to close our eyes and our ears and act like nothing happened because it ain't hurting me, but it's hurting my neighbor? No, not at this church. We'll go down to 10 people, as long as we got 10 people who really love the things of God and are willing to do the work of God. God moved, did more with Gideon's 300 than he would have done with 32,000 just sitting around. No, man, but I got a feeling. Everybody up in here, God's diverse kingdom, we mean this thing. We're not playing. When Jesus has spoken, his words are mightier and greater and more authoritative than anybody who sits in any house. The true followers, there's a separating that's going to happen between sheep and wolves. There's a separating that's going to happen between wheat and tare. We're closer than we were yesterday and 100 years ago to the return of Jesus. But before Jesus returns, there's going to be some stuff going on. And there are going to be many who are going to fall away from the faith. They have a form of godliness, but no power. How's that power found? In how you love people. That's the distinguishing mark of a Christian, how you love, not how you vote. Oh my goodness. All right, okay. All right. I love y'all. Hope you love me. Praise God. Galatians 3:22. Here we go. Galatians 3:22. I still believe this is the authoritative word of God I'm reading here. And it trumps everything. Verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin. Is that true? All. Jews and Gentiles. Whereas in our day, especially here in the South, the main contention is black and white or black, white, and brown. But in that day, it was Jew and Gentile. And there was an expectation from the apostles, from the authority and instruction of Jesus, that these different kinds of people with past histories of oppression and all of that stuff would come together in Christ. But first, all are under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, whether they're Jew or Gentile. And there were Jewish people who didn't really like these Gentiles coming into faith with Yahweh, after they had carried the yoke of the law, or so they thought they carried it, for hundreds of years with all the law keeping and the circumcision, and here they come and they don't have to be circumcised. There was some contention. But the gospel is given by the promise of faith, not by the works of law. And there were Jews who had to relearn this and learn it for the first time. There was contention in the early church, just like there's been contention in the church ever since it's been born. We have the answer to deal with the contention, but the application of it thereof gets lost. Ah, let me go now to verse 26. For you, who's the you in the plural? Jews and Gentiles. He's writing to a mixed congregation of Jews and Gentiles in Galatia. Europeans are coming to faith. Jews are coming to faith. They're struggling to put the law down. And they're telling the Galatian Gentiles, you've got to be circumcised. And Paul's like, no, you don't. Who bewitched you? Who started teaching this false gospel to you that you need Jesus and circumcision? You need Jesus and Moses. You need Jesus and who started teaching? I didn't tell you that. But today ain't no better. You need Jesus and water baptism. That's what some people say. We'll talk about that in this series. You need Jesus and church membership, specifically this denomination. What gospel is that? That ain't no good news. You need Jesus and this experience and the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you are not saved. What gospel is that? But back to verse 26 rather. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 27, for as many of you were baptized into Christ. What does that mean? You were placed into Christ. This is not speaking about water. This is speaking about spiritual identity, who you are in Christ. You've been placed into Christ. Let me read real quick what the Holy Spirit does in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, who represents the oil. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. They're not two bodies of Christ or three bodies of Christ or the conservative body of Christ and the progressive body. There's one body, a whole lot of denominations, but one body, whether Jews or Greeks. You know how controversial this was in the first century? Somebody said how controversial it is today, Pastor, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. My God, this is the gospel of Jesus. So I go back to Galatians chapter 3. I'm back at verse 27 again. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So here it is. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So let me tell you what Galatians 3:28 is not saying. It's not telling us to erase, deny, minimize, or even spiritualize our differences. Because when people say neither slave nor free, some people read that as we're to erase our ethnic differences, our racial differences. Some people read that as we are to minimize our class differences because we're just one in Christ. And usually the people who have more usually say that and not the people who have less. The ones who are privileged will say things like that. But we're not to erase. We are not to deny. We are not to minimize or spiritualize our differences. But where I come from, conservatives want to erase race and become colorblind. And will misquote one sentence out of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech about not being judged by the color of your skin. And they'll say, he believed in colorblind. You missed the whole front of the speech, the back of the speech, all his writings, everything he lived and died for, because you're trying to make it say what you want it to say. We don't erase our differences, but conservatives want to erase race to make white people feel better, but they will not erase gender roles. So if you're going to erase race, we're just, clear. We don't have a color, we're just clear or something, But you won't erase gender roles. You won't erase that one, but not. All of a sudden, we're going to stick with this unhealthy hierarchical system. But come Wednesday night, it's going to be a wonderful time. But here's what Galatians 3:28 is telling us, Strong Tower. It's not telling us to erase, deny, minimize, or spiritualize our differences. It is telling us to see or acknowledge our differences. It is telling us to celebrate our differences. Why? Because each person was made in the image of God. So you celebrate your brother and sister because of the Imago Dei, male, female, Gentile, Jew, rich, poor. We celebrate and we embrace our differences while, here's the key, prioritizing our oneness in Christ. That's what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ, Jesus. We prioritize that we are one in him. And here's the beauty. We are one, but we are not the same. We can be different and be okay. We can have unity and not surrender to uniformity or conformity. We can be unique because we are unique. Not a Christian in here believes the same thing about everything in the kingdom of God. But what we do have in common is Jesus. That's how it's supposed to work. So in conclusion, I ask you, why GDK? Why God's diverse kingdom? Because the Father planned it. Jesus lived it. The Holy Spirit loves it. Heaven epitomizes it. And the world needs it. Needs it now more than ever before. Well, let me give you a little bit of history. We are in the building that was owned by Otter Creek Church of Christ. Otter Creek Church of Christ started in 1929 with a little under 30 members, and it built its first building in 1930 on this property, and that's the picture of the first Otter Creek Church of Christ that was built on this property. Down the street is Lipscomb University, which is a Church of Christ institution. David Lipscomb, that many revere within the Church of Christ denomination, was the one who gave this church the materials that it needed to build this church, which he had taken from his own home. So he gave various materials to build the first church that you saw on the screen there, Otter Creek Church of Christ. But as that church began to grow, they tore down that building, and guess what? Built this building that we're in today. And they built this building in 1950, which means this building is 75 years old. I know it doesn't look like it because when we came, we did a facelift up in here. And because they didn't really get into instruments, they had a small stage. We came in and said, that will never work. And we rebuilt this stage here so that it could hold instruments. We removed the wooden pews, put down these soft, cushy seats for you to fall asleep while I'm preaching. And we did all of that. But this building was built in 1950. And in our elders meeting this past week, one of the things we talked about, because this is an older building, there's still many things that need to be upgraded in this building. Yes, we upgraded the balcony and some other rooms, but we've got to upgrade the women's bathrooms here at the church. I see some of the men shaking their heads on that. I've been told that within the women's bathroom, the stalls are real small and slender, and you got to turn sideways to go up in there. And the toilets, as Archie Bunker would say, the turlets are so low into the ground, you feel like you're in another country when you go to the restroom in Strong Tower. So we're going to be working on that, okay? We're going to do some modification. The elder said, go ahead and replace those toilets. That's the first thing we can do. Let's get those toilets replaced. So we're going to raise the toilets up. Can the sisters say amen? Amen, amen, amen. And brothers, we got two bathrooms, really one, on this first level. I don't know how they did it for all over 50, 60 years. There's one men's restroom over here on this side. Then there's another restroom over here, but you got to have a code to get into it. And so the brothers, if they got to use it, they got to go upstairs. Some of our men can't go upstairs, and they have some emergencies, and they got to get there. So we got to build out and put some male bathrooms on this level. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I see sisters shaking their head. Amen, yeah. So this building, thank God for putting us here. But before I tell you about God putting us here, y'all listen to this. In the late 1950s, And in the early 1960s, two developers came into this community and decided to build homes all through here into this Otter Creek community. And they had a liking and a devotion and a commitment to the Civil War. So these two developers ended up naming six streets after things related to the Civil War, a war that was fought over states' rights to own men and women from Africa. And so Civil War history all up and down. So less than a mile from our church, these are actual pictures that I went out Friday and took. You got Robert E. Lee Court, General Forrest Court, Jefferson Davis Drive, Jefferson Davis Court, Confederate Drive, Robert E. Lee Drive. Pastor, why are you saying all that, man? It's okay to love history. Well, check this out, though. We've got members in this church who are old enough to remember when this neighborhood was so segregated, they feared coming through this neighborhood. Members old enough in this church to remember segregation. And one of the reasons some may say that these developers put these streets in was because in 1954, Brown versus Board of Education said that segregation in public schools is now illegal. And that's how the Christian schools really started, because the Christian people, probably some who used to go to this church, didn't want their kids going to public schools with those people. So they started Brentwood Academy and all these other places, these citadels of racism, so that they could go to school and learn and even worship Jesus in this kind of homogeneous setting. But I thank God that there were some residents in this community who in 2023 said, we're tired of driving down these streets and signing our mail with these names on it. So they went to the government, the local government, to say, we want to change the street names around here. And as the racists like to do, they went to the historic commission to try to change the names. They start playing the games about you can't change the names because it's part of history, and they got to bring in lawyers. And this thing is still in litigation to this day because there are people who don't want to move on from a racist past. But guess what happened? In 2012, God decided to send this diverse group of people called Strong Tower Bible Church into this community and plant us right here, smack dab in the middle of all these Confederate streets. He put us right here. Because for a while I was like, God, why you put us in a neighborhood that maybe two of our members can afford to live in? Only two of y'all, and y'all don't want to live here. But like, man, why? Economics. It's a display that when we leave church and people see a diverse group leaving church, or when we do Easter and we're out there on the lawn and black kids and brown kids and white kids are out there, and it's a display of God's diverse kingdom to a community that was steeped in racism. So God could have put us anywhere, but he chose to put us here. My brothers, put those pictures up when people ride by and see what we're about here. Put those pictures up. Look at that. Those are our students right there, the ones who are going to take the baton from us, God's diverse kingdom. Give me that other one. Give me that other one. Look at those men right there. Look at that beautiful tapestry of brothers right there. All right, give me the next one. Yeah, they look better than us. Look at that beautiful tapestry. That's the way it's supposed to be. We shouldn't get a medal for being what God's called us to be. This is what we're supposed to be. And give me that other one. Look at that right there. And the thing that makes Strong Tower strong, because you got a lot of diverse churches that are a lot like white churches, even if they're diverse, because the leadership doesn't understand grassroots situations because they're not in relationship with real black folk. I'm losing y'all. I'm not saying it right. I'm trying to say it so y'all don't move your membership. I'm a real brother, pastor in a multiracial church. There are some black guys who pastor mixed churches, but they are so conformed to white culture, they've given in so much to wanting to appease white people that they never rock the boat and deal with things that are in the culture. They want to keep it quiet
So I'm not that person. But I'm also not that black guy that is so into social matters that you think I hate white people. No. Man, I don't not only preach GDK, I live it. When my son was in kindergarten, homeboy came home and said, "Dad, I'm gonna marry a white woman." And my flesh said, "A white woman? You mean the right woman, son?" And God dealt with me like, what if he does marry a white woman? Because black folk, we got to deal with our own issues too. And God dealt with me right there. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You'd have thought my son was a prophet. Because that Negro not only married a white woman, he married the right woman. Oh! Then my daughter was like, "Ooh, I'm going to follow his example." And we have real talks just like this at the table because we're kingdom people. We keep it real. We're not playing with this. People are dying about this stuff. So he brought Strong Tower Bible Church. So Strong Tower, I want to tell you the reason why we've experienced God's diverse kingdom is because we experience it, explain it, we expand it, we talk about it. That's why we remain diverse. The numbers go up and down over the years, but we remain diverse. We teach about it from Scripture. We learn about it from each other as you share your stories of what you're going through, what you're experiencing as a woman or as a minority. We learn about it. We're intentional about it. If you notice, just about every Sunday, you're going to see a little bit of everybody on the stage. Because in the staff meetings, we're trying to think, we haven't had a white brother up there in a while. We haven't had a white sister up there in a while. Okay, how can we be intentional without being manipulative? Okay, make a phone call. So we and then with the music, which is so tough in a church like ours, we mix it up. We're sensitive to culture. So, and even within our leadership structure, we've got white elders, white pastors, black pastors, women pastors, all because we want you, as you sit out there, you look up on this platform, you see people who look like you and people making decisions like you who look like you. Oh, man, no, it's not easy, because if it was easy, we'd see a whole lot more churches like this. But we'd rather be comfortable than Christ-like. You know how many black pastors look at me and think I'm a sellout because I passed the white folk? I'm like, man, you crazy, man. I understand the history of why there's a black church. Don't get me wrong. I love the black church. I came through the black church. I get it. But don't put my thing down because you're thinking, you're judging us based on your prejudices of what this can be. No, man, this is real. This is the kingdom of God coming through a local church. And I'm so glad I don't need your approval to do what God's called me to do. I will cut some black folk off. Anyway, y'all, can y'all go back and edit this sermon? I had this closing. I was going to say, we talk about it, we teach about it, we learn about it, we're intentional about it, we pray about it, and finally, we're about it. You know what I'm saying? We're about it up in here. We're about it, baby. So Strong Tower, stay on the wall. Strong Tower, the world needs you now more than ever. You can invite anybody to come to this church, and they're going to get loved on. They're going to hear about the grace and the mercy and the truth of God. So don't get weary, Strong Tower. Don't give up, Strong Tower. And do not become afraid of the things we're going to see facing this culture in the future. Because here is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. Why God's diverse kingdom? I tell you, these reasons and so many more. And I'm thankful. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, you know this stuff is on my heart. I thank you that you gave me this calling. I didn't understand it at first, but I embrace it and I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've kept us now coming on 30 years. Of doing our best to look like where we're going, seeing your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And there's still so much growing and so much expansion, so much diversity we can do. But I thank you. I thank you for where we are and where you're taking us to. Lord, we know that the enemy would love to divide any and every church, especially churches like this. So, Lord, may we not be ignorant of his schemes to try to get us divided over secondary issues. Might we keep the main thing, the main thing, the main one, the main one. And we thank you, God. May we not be ashamed, afraid about who we are and why we are. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this calling. I pray that we can train other leaders and see other churches take this mantle of the kingdom of heaven upon them. Thank you for Strong Tower Bible Church Franklin. Thank you, Lord God, for the churches in Murfreesboro and in other parts of Nashville that we influence, even out in Seattle. Thank you, God. May we continue to grow in your diverse kingdom. Would you bless your people as they go? May they have something to read about, chew on, discuss, dialogue, especially as we go into Martin Luther King Day tomorrow in the midst of all of these things that are happening in our culture. Let us be bold with it. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, and it's according to the power that's working in us, to him be all of the glory, all of the majesty, all of the dominion and the authority, both now and forevermore, and all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Can you hug three people before you leave? You got to hug three.